Well, good Sunday morning to you, and welcome back to Financing Your Future. This is John Schaff, Senior Vice President Investments of the Schaff Tally Investment Group of Raymond James. We are conveniently located in the beautiful Bellevue Park Corporate Center at 200 Bellevue Parkway, and we're on the fourth floor in Suite 425 here in Wilmington, Delaware at 19809. And, of course, Raymond James is a member of the New York Stock Exchange and the SIPC. I welcome you this morning. And, again, as you know, if you've listened to this program before, this is the Lord's Day. This is the Sabbath. I hope that you've been to church this morning or to your house of worship. Or perhaps you're on your way home from a wonderful time with the Lord, and now you're going to take the rest of the day and enjoy time with family, or time at the meal with meals, or just maybe taking a siesta. We're in the dog days of August, and the weather is warmer and warmer as we inch our way to the end of summer. I certainly don't want to hurry that by any means, because our days go by faster than we would like for them to go. So it's kind of funny, when you're younger, you can't wait for the days to go by, but as you get older, you know, we're on the other side of that journey. The days go by faster than we would like for them to go by. So enjoy each one of them. And again, as I say, I hope you're enjoying today and having a good time with your, you know, family or your spouse, and even your dog or cat. How about that? And spend some time recovering and getting ready for the beginning of a new week. We certainly have had an interesting time in the market this week, that's for sure. And my illustration last week about seesaw was very mild compared to what we went through this week. I think it reminds me of the Six Flags roller coaster ride, the Great American Scream Machine. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Atlanta and had the opportunity to ride on that, but it is a thriller of a roller coaster ride. It's a wooden roller coaster, so you heard the clickety-clickety-clicks on the tracks, and it wobbled a little bit, you know, and you would slowly go to the top and then whoosh, down to the bottom you would go and then back up. Sort of felt a little bit that way when you saw markets whipsawed back and forth this week simply on tweets or on crossing the, yield curve inversion, all kinds of cutesy little names and things that were going on, but an exciting time in the market. But let me remind you, if I may, that, you know, things are better than the marketeers and the news folks are writing about. Again, I mean, if you look and hear what you see, and if you just do like I do, every day I grab the Wall Street Journal and I just scan the front page and, you know, scan through it. But just look at the headlines, and one day the same news is positive, but it reacts negative, and the next day it's the same news again, and you get the opposite reaction. And so it's kind of interesting to look back at different headlines as you see them from day to day. But that's designed to sell newspapers, and that's exactly what they're doing. You know, I'm reminded when I see the market go down 800 points, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, 800 points. But 800 points of relative to what? If I tell you the market goes down 2.3%, you're thinking, wow, that's not bad. But if I go, wow, the market's down 800 points, you're going to go, oh, my gosh, it's terrible. So it's all in how you view things, and I think many times the media tends to sensationalize the news, and that just drives everybody crazy, but it does perk your interest and maybe pick up the newspaper or glance over to see what that article says. So those are the things that we try to help folks with. We help folks to try to sit down and take a deep breath and look at what they have, and remind folks that this is a journey. We're not in a race. And to be able to remind folks of the portfolios that they have, that they are designed for long term. Again, we're not trying to be how much money we can make this week. And again, it's putting things into proper perspective. So again, that's something if you'd like to sit down with us and have a conversation about. Our phone number is 302-798-9113. Again, if you're out of the area, though, we also have the old Watts line, I like to call it. It's 800-225-8043. And again, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you folks that we do have a web page and we do have a Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and check us out, you can always like us there. and see if if there's something there of interest, because Joe always puts some articles on there for you that are timely. Matter of fact, there'll be one on this week on volatility, which is apropos under the circumstance. So if you have a few minutes, you certainly want to go to that, to the Facebook page, and take a look at it. And of course, our webpage is www.schoff, S-C-H-O-F-F, tally, tally.com. And you can find a little more detail about us as a team, and we can, even our pictures are there, yes. So you can go there and take a look at that. And there's a lot of different resources on that webpage too. So again, if you'd like to sit down, come in and visit with us for a complimentary review, we'd be glad to do that. And just need to get on the calendar, because the calendar is going to get busy here pretty soon. And so give us a call, give Joe or Susan or myself a call, and we'll get you on the calendar so we can go over these things. Oh, and another quick note, I do want to remind you that we are, as I was talking about news, and we were talking about bad news and all kinds of things that are out there, just to remind you that we're still, an unemployment rate is still at a 50-year low, all right? And so you're at an unemployment rate, a 50-year low. You had a record, you know, the Dow and S&P hit record levels this year. So there's all kinds of good news out there buried beneath the storm of all the gloom and doom. So again, I want to remind you, and by the way, here's another quick little note. The savings rate, household saving rate, and this is, let's see, who's this? This is by Sonia Deze. He's a PhD for he's a chief investment officer for Franklin Templeton. I'm sorry, for a mutual fund company. And so, his comment was, and I just happened to grab this today, the household savings rate as of June of this year is at a very healthy 8.1%. Now, that's phenomenal when you talk about, oh, my goodness, gloom and doom and agony and despair. So enough of that. We like to see that kind of stuff. And I do like to remind folks that things are better than the media would have us to believe. Okay? So let me go back in. As I said, this month I'm trying to focus a little more on women in investing or women's issues. I'm trying to give us some different viewpoints. That's what this is about. And as I referenced last week, there was a book that I've met the writer, Dr. Kathleen Amarillo, and she's also a certified financial planner. She writes a book called Moving Forward on Your Own, and it's a financial guidebook for widows. She does a nice job on some things, and last week I referenced some comments from her her book, and I think this week I'm going to reference a few things here as we get back into talking about women and money and taking control of your finances, and then we'll pick it up from where we left off last week. So I'd like to start with reading this week again. It's just a brief, just a second of her comment. So here we go. This is entitled Focus on Investment Factors You Can Control. Let me slow down here and say that again. Focus on investment factors you can control. I thought this would be appropriate, especially this week in the volatility and in the markets. And also remind you, this isn't just for women. This is for investors in general, but our focus this month will be towards women. So she begins her article here with this writing. The media hypes news about people suffering when the economy fluctuates. Shifting value of real estate, unemployment, a credit crisis, and other distressing events can put stocks on the defense. Avoid focusing on these and other circumstances you can't control. Rather, concentrate on what you can control. So her advice, as she's saying here, is try to focus, you know, take your focus away from the things that you have no control over, and then rather focus on what you can control. And that's part of what we try to help folks do, too, is managing the emotion of investing. So she goes on to write here, your investment performance depends on several factors, and here they are. These are seven different factors. The first factor she says is, how much do you spend? That's a legitimate question, and we'll go into that in a little more detail in a minute. How much do you save? Another great question. Length of time you're invested. How long do you plan to be invested? And that could be various periods of times. How about investing in a variety of different types of investments? Maybe you need to look at tax reduction strategies. She also goes on to say informed decisions made about your new life as a widow. In this case, this she's writing to women who are widows. And, of course, market return. The last item is market return. She goes on to say you can manage the first six variables, but number seven is virtually impossible to control. Remember, market return. Of course, you need to pay attention to the markets, but there are more pressing things to focus on, like the positives in your life. It's like the old adage about your glass being half full or half empty. By concentrating on your values and what's really meaningful in your life, you emphasize a glass half full. It's the joy in your life that's important now, and where you want to focus your energies, pay attention to what you truly can manage and turn away from what you have absolutely no power to control. So I just wanted to bring that up because we are going through volatility in the market, certainly, and those are the kind of things that can totally disrupt a financial plan in a hurry because your emotions take over and you want a quick fix, stop the pain, stop the drop, get me out, put me in cash, whatever the case is, bury my money, all kinds of strategies. And so she reminds us that's we can't control the market. We can control our other components there, but the market's not something we can control. So let's go back into what we were talking about last week. Again, taking control of your finances, talking about taking control. We talked about last week started, we introduced it last week, and then we talked about developing a clear picture of your current financial situation, which, again, Kathleen talks about in her article here about the savings, how much money you spend, how much do you save, how much you invest. You need to put some of those things down to get started. So you want to develop a clear picture of your current financial situation. You want to set and prioritize financial goals and time frames. And, of course, you want to implement appropriate savings and investment strategies. And those are things that, and again, I go back to this is not just for women. This is for anybody trying to get things organized, so to speak, build that financial plan or that plan to accomplish what they want to accomplish at some point in the future. And, by the way, before I get too far along in this, I do need to remind you that I do have a disclaimer. These ideas and thoughts here are not necessarily those of Raymond James. They are mine. And so there's also a disclaimer very quickly. Let me read this, that the information provided here is developed by an independent third party and has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable. But Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. This information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities market or developments referred to in this material. This information is not intended as a solicitation or to offer to buy or sell any security referred to herein. Investments mentioned may not be suitable for all investors. And the material is general in nature. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Raymond James does not provide advice on tax, legal, or mortgage issues. These matters should be discussed with the appropriate professional. Okay. My apologies. We need to get that out of the way. Again, so let's talk about setting goals and prioritizing our financial goals. So the first step, as we said, was creating and implementing a financial plan. The second step is setting and prioritizing financial goals and timeframes. So the second step, as we just said, start out, first of all, by making a list of things that you'd like to achieve. It may be to separate you. It may help to separate the list into two parts, short-term financial goals and long-term financial goals. Short-term financial goals may include making sure that your cash reserve is adequately funded or paying off some outstanding credit card debt. As for the long-term goals, you can ask yourself, would you like to purchase a new home? Or do you want to retire early? What does early look like? Would you like to start saving for your children's or your child's college education or your grandchildren's education? Even going into more, where do you want to retire at? Those kind of things. Once you've established your financial goals, you'll want to prioritize them. You know, setting priorities is important since it may not be possible for you to pursue all of your goals at once. You will have to decide which of your financial goals are most important to you. So, for example, is sending your child to college a high priority of a goal for you? Or maybe not having the debt for your child as they get out of college. That may be a priority. So, you know, goodness sakes, here we go. Okay, you may even want to look at putting buying a beachfront vacation home, maybe something you've always wanted. Again, these are things that they're realistic, or maybe they're not. It depends on your circumstance. But you, by putting these strategy or these goals out there, then you prioritize them. And to give you an example, we're in the middle of a home remodel at our house, and so my wife and I bought this home probably 12 years ago. We had talked about doing a remodel in the kitchen. And then that was like a priority number one, right? Well, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. If you go back, what happened about 12, 10, in between that period of time, we had 08 come into play, which was the greatest recession we'd ever seen. So that changes when you spend money, and that was an example. We delayed that home remodel job to we're currently having it done. So circumstances can change that, but it was a big priority for us, and in particular, now it's slowly, but it's looking good, coming along fine, and so we should have it finished pretty soon, except for the air conditioning went out this week, of course, as always, right? It's the way it goes, and so we're having that. We're going to milk it till we get through the construction. Then we may have to look at how we can replace it. But that's just one example. I mean, everybody has different kind of goals. So implementing savings and investments and strategies. This would be another part of your plan here. After you've determined your financial goals, you're going to want to know how much it will take to fund each goal. That makes sense, right? If you've already started savings towards a goal, you want to know how much farther you need to go. Yeah, so some folks will look at, like, if you want to buy a car, for instance, some people like to pay cash for a car. So if they do, how do you prepare to save for it? How long is it going to take to do it? So there's different ways. How much do I have to put aside every month to do it? And some people still use, you remember the Christmas savings accounts at the bank? You used to be able to put a little money in. And I think some people still do that. Of course, it's gone up higher than it used to be. You used to save, you know, what was $1,000, I think, is what you try to save over the year for Christmas in a Christmas savings account. And, of course, now it could be more. Depends, again, everybody's different. But the fact of the matter is that's a classic goal. Christmas comes every year, and so why not put monies away if you're expecting to spend X dollars for Christmas? It's a good way to do that. Now, next, you can focus on implementing appropriate investment strategies. And so to help determine which investments are suitable for you, for your financial goals, you should ask yourself the following questions. And these are just a few questions to ask yourself, but it's a good start. What is my time horizon? So you say, well, John, what is a time horizon? What does that really mean? Well, I guess in simple terms, I would say, how long do you plan to leave this money in an investment so that you will have it for whatever particular reason? So, again, if you were planning for college, depending upon the child, how you would invest the monies, because it's a longer time horizon from the time a child's born till they go to college. If you're planning for retirement monies, it depends on how old you are and where you are for how long that time horizon would be. If you're retiring, and I just had that conversation this week, is what's that time horizon? Well, if your mother is, like my mother-in-law is 87 right now, And my dad is 91. Well, I could spend, well, who knows, 20, 25 years of my life in potentially in retirement. And many of our clients have already spent 20 to 25 years in retirement. So, again, that time horizon really depends on what the circumstances are. You may also ask yourself, what is my emotional and financial tolerance for investment risk? Now, that sounds pretty impressive, right? What is my emotional and financial tolerance for risk for investment risk? Putting that more in layman's terms, is where's your threshold of pain? How much are you impacted emotionally by markets that are volatile, like we've seen this past week? Ask yourself honestly, how am I impacted by an 800-point drop in the stock market? Am I saying, oh, that's okay, it'll pass, or am I not sleeping at night? So these are questions that we ask clients, and we do an assessment when they come into our office. When you want to be honest with yourself, a lot of folks aren't. A lot of folks that I've met with over the years have said, well, I'm more of a conservative investor, and then their portfolio is 100% stocks. And I'm thinking, that's not way you're telling me one thing, but you're investing otherwise. So be honest with yourself about it. What kind of how are you going to be impacted by volatility? Will you stay the course? Will you be able to stay the course? Or if not, you may have to find a different type of investment strategy, because in order for you to maintain the course, you've got to stay with the strategy. And so if it's too aggressive for you, then it won't work. You'll get out of it. So the last thing you want to ask yourself is, what are my liquidity needs? Now, that's a wide open question, and that really means, how much money do I have, or can I get to if I need to get to it in a hurry? So if you have liquidity needs, you've heard Tom talk in the past and myself, you need to have a savings account, you need an emergency account, you need to have an account for those liquidity needs. Those accounts are there, they're liquid. They're typically in CDs or cash equivalent investments, where they're there for you to get if you need them in a hurry and there's no market risk. There are other ways to meet liquidity needs too, but this is just one example. So you ask yourself, how much money do we need to keep liquid? And again, everybody is different. There's a certain amount of money somebody wants to pat at night before they go to bed. That's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but you need a certain amount of real liquidity, period. Wherever you are in the financial food chain, you need to have assets that are available in case of an emergency. So once you've answered these few questions, you're able to tailor your investments to help you target your specific goals, whether it's retirement, education, maybe a large purchase such as a home or a car, maybe even starting a business, or just increasing your net worth. These are some legitimate goals and things that you need to invest. You need to ask yourself, go through these questions about, how do I invest that money to meet those particular goals? Now, I'm going to move into managing your debt and credit and try to get through some of that, because that's part of a good financial plan too, is how do I manage that debt, or how do I manage to get out of it, or manage not to get into it. So there are different ways to phrase that. So, and by the way, if you want to look, want us to take a look at these things for you, as I've said before, and I will continue to say, you're welcome to have a complimentary review with us at the office. And we help you. We run cash flow analysis. We can certainly do estate planning analysis, retirement planning analysis, and help you to kind of guide you through some of these through your journey along life's goal here. And we would love to do that. So you can give us a call at 302-798-9113. And again, talk to myself or Susan or to Joe. So managing your debt and credit, that's a big part of a good any investment strategy. Well, whether it's debt from student loans, which is a big issue right now, or a mortgage, or credit cards, or all of the above, It's important to avoid the financial pitfalls that can sometimes go hand in hand with borrowing. And any sound financial plan should effectively manage both debt and credit, as I've said. And here below are some of the tips for help you manage your credit card debt and your debt and your credit. Number one, make sure you know exactly how much you owe by keeping track of balances and interest rates. So that is a really key thing, and I want to expand on that, but I have just been advised that I am out of time for this week. So I will come back to managing your credit, debt and credit next week as we continue our program here. So before I go, I want to say thanks to my brother Jim as he, again, does a wonderful job. Thanks, Jim, for helping us out here today. And before I go, I want to leave you with this thought. And this is by, this is by Diane Ackerman. I don't want to get to the end of my life and find that I lived just the length of it. I want to have lived the width of it as well. So until we meet again, this is John Schaaf for Financing Your Future.